And if you would allow, I want to take the first few minutes to just bring a reflection on the urgency or the importance and the reminders of the Holy Communion. So right where you are, I'm going to ask you to stand and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 33. And our theme of our reflection this morning is reminders of the Holy Communion. Reminders of the Holy Communion. Reminders with regard to the Holy Communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 33. We greet each and every one of you once again, those who have returned back from vacation. So nice to see you. We continue to pray for our sister Laura, who lost her grandmother this week. We just pray that the Lord will continue to strengthen her and comfort her during this time. We know that losing a loved one is never easy, but so thankful to know that we have a blessed hope that one day we will see our loved ones again. And we know that her grandmother was a faithful servant of the Lord who served the Lord faithfully for many years. And today, Laura also thanks God for her grandmother who taught her her faith as well. And we're just so thankful for Laura's life here in Elohim. And Laura, we want you to know that you have been in our prayers this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 33. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whosoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We thank you for the teaching of your word. I pray, Lord God, that as we draw closer to the table this morning, Lord, that we would draw closer with an excitement, with an opportunity to really come before you, emptying ourselves and asking you, Lord, to fill us. As we draw closer to the table this morning, Lord God, that this would not just be a ceremony or a ritual or something we do because we're born again, but we would draw to the table, Lord God, with a longing and a desire for your presence, O Lord. Fill our time today, Lord God, with your presence. Speak to our hearts. Light a fire that will burn intensely within us for you, O Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. You may be seated this morning. I remind you today that before we partake of the communion, it is not just a ritual that we observe, but it's a blessing to be received. Most evangelical churches celebrate two ordinances. Some call them sacraments. The baptism in water and the Holy Communion. The baptism in water is to be done once. It's an outward sign of an inward work. It's a sign that we want the whole world to know that we now live for Jesus. The old man has died and the new man now has resurrected. And that is done once in our lifetime. And the other ordinance is the Holy Communion, where there's a constant reminder of the need for the presence of Jesus in our lives. Our Catholic brothers and sisters, when they celebrate the communion, they literally believe that the bread becomes the body of Jesus and the blood and the wine or the fruit of the fruit
of the wine literally becomes the blood of Jesus. And they believe that Jesus literally becomes part of you at that very moment. There are others that believe that it's not a literal happening, but it's a spiritual happening. That when we partake of the Holy Communion, that you are receiving Jesus again, receiving His presence again. And though we respect all views, that's not the view that we hold on to here in Elohim Christian Church. Many evangelical churches, Pentecostal churches, and surely Assemblies of God churches like ours, we take the view of remembrance. It's a memorial. We are reminded of the work of Jesus on the cross, the work of Jesus at Calvary for the salvation of our souls, for the opportunity of redemption and being brought before the presence of the Father. We're reminded that it's through the sacrifice of Jesus, through the breaking of His body and the shedding of His blood, that we now have the opportunity to be born again. And we celebrate the communion remembering Jesus. And there is a spiritual blessing. It is not just a ritual, or it is not just a ceremony. There's not something mystical about it, but there is a blessing in the communion. Why? Because we're being obedient to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a step of obedience. It's also a blessing because we approach the table in a spirit of worship, knowing who Jesus is, but yet reverent, knowing who we are. There is a spiritual blessing because it is reminded to us to evaluate our lives. It's a time of evaluation. It's a time of the checklist in our lives. It's a time to look at ourselves and say, are we living a life that is pleasing to the Lord? And there is a spiritual blessing because it's a time when the body comes together. As we read in that last verse, the body comes together to celebrate at the table with Jesus. So it is a spiritual blessing for us this morning. It is an opportunity for us to renew and light a fire within us for the love that we have for Jesus. As we think about this communion, there's five reminders that I have for you today that I hope will resonate with you. As I have been studying this week, this has just burned within me. And I say, Lord, help us, help me, Carlos, to be reminded of the need of the table with Jesus. Five reminders that I have for you this morning, briefly. The first reminder is that the Holy Communion reminds us of the fellowship we have with Jesus. The Holy Communion reminds us of the fellowship that we have with Jesus. Jesus said these words, and the Apostle Paul wrote them. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul is reminding the church of the words of Jesus to gather and remember Jesus, to celebrate His body, to celebrate the new covenant which was established by His blood. No longer the need for animal sacrifices. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. No longer a need for covering our sins or just atonement. No, Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, was able to forgive all our sins. And God spoke those words through the prophet Isaiah when He said, "I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more." When we think of the Holy Communion, we're reminded that we have fellowship with Jesus. Holy Communion is a reminder to us of enjoying communion with Jesus on earth. And that word communion means sharing. It is to enjoy sharing with Jesus here on earth. And when we take the elements today, we're reminded that we draw close to His presence. He sits at the table. The communion reminds us that we are near to Jesus. We are near to Him. It reminds us that we come together as a body and enjoy the presence of God. It's not just a historical happening that we celebrate, but we celebrate the words of Jesus when He said in His resurrected body, "I am with you always, to the end of the age." This level of fellowship is not just for anyone. We must have come to the place where we have received Christ as our personal Savior. This type of fellowship, to sit at the table with Jesus, to partake of his body and to partake of his blood is not just for anyone. We must have come to the place where we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. This ceremony is not for the religious person who's trying to do the right thing, who says, I need to go to church because it's the right thing. Let me be obedient and take the communion because it's the right thing. No, this ceremony is not for the religious person who's just trying to be religiously right. No, this ceremony is for those that need, long, and want the presence of Jesus. There are some that feel good by being faithful to their religious responsibilities, and they go home feeling good because they've been religious, they've been responsible. Well, those things may work for other things, but when it comes down to the communion, no, this is not a responsibility that we have and we come to church just to do it, but we come to the understanding that we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we draw to the table with that in mind. This ceremony is not for the person looking for a mystical reaction in their lives. Some think it's like a magic potion. It will heal me if I take the communion. It will liberate me if I take the communion. Now, I'm not saying that those things cannot happen during the time of communion, but our motive to take the communion should not be for a particular need or want within our lives. Our motive behind the communion should be just because I long for the presence of God. And it's in that time, if he chooses to do a work in our body and he chooses to liberate us from something, to heal our body, the glory will be his. But our motive this morning is not looking for his hand, but looking for his face. Those who have chosen to live a life of sin and rebellion should not take the communion this morning. If you have been intentional in your life, knowing that you're living a life of sin, knowing that you have been intentional in choosing to say, I know that this is not right, but I will live this way anyway. The communion is not for you this morning. The communion is for those that draw close to Christ, loving him, examining themselves, repenting from their sins, and drawing near to God. Perhaps there's someone here today that you've been trying, but you have intentionally chosen a life of sin, intentionally making decisions to live a life that you know does not please God, and you have not repented from it. You have not changed your ways. This morning, the communion then is not for you. To take the communion, we must truly love Jesus. To truly love Jesus is to recognize that we need a Savior, and we need someone that will rescue us from our life of sin, rescue us from our life of condemnation. And the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To be able to share at the table, one must be born again. One must have examined their lives, confessed their sins, confessed their past sins, and repent from a life without Christ and live for Jesus. There is an open invitation for you this morning. Perhaps my strong words are resonating with you today. There's grace for you this morning. There's an opportunity for you to examine yourself this morning and say, that's it. I will no longer live a life of sin. I will draw closer to God. I will confess my sins and I will repent. I will change my ways. And then there's an open invitation for you also this morning then to draw closer to the Lord. We seek to share communion with Christ, understanding that he is gracious towards us, appreciating who he is, finding ourselves in his presence. When we seek to share the communion with Christ, not really appreciating who he is, we find ourselves lost, like Judas, not appreciating who Jesus was, and had an open opportunity to sit at the table with Jesus, but not appreciating who he sat at the table with, not appreciating his holiness, not appreciating his consecration, not appreciating the way that he loved him. And he left that reunion lost and broken, and eventually it cost him his life. Only a born-again believer can truly enjoy fellowship with Jesus. As we share in the communion today, I ask you, do you love Jesus? I ask you, do you look forward to sharing with Him, sharing in His presence? Do you look forward to being with Him and telling Him that you love Him? Look forward to saying, be the Lord of my life. I surrender all. I give my life to you. There is an open invitation to sit with Him at the table. His presence draws us towards Him. This morning, I remind you as we celebrate the Holy Communion, I remind you that the Holy Communion has everything to do with fellowship with Jesus. And the church says, amen. We're talking about reminders of the Holy Communion this morning. The Holy Communion, our second reminder is, the Holy Communion reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. I remind you of the sacrifice of Christ. The Bible teaches us that Christ's life was a sacrifice for us. From the beginning, the Bible says that He emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He left the side of the Father and became a servant to all mankind, no longer in a glorified state, but He subjects Himself to human form. Why? For you and for me. The perfect God chooses to suffer hunger, and He chooses to suffer thirst and pain and sorrow and tiredness and rejection. He chooses to suffer those things for you and for me so that He can sympathize with us and that He can offer a perfect sacrifice. Jesus' words are this: greater love has no man than this, than someone laid down his life for a friend. The communion reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. I love, as I study this week and just looking through some of the things and some of what wrote about the sacrifice of Jesus, we're reminded that He was mocked. Jesus, our Lord, the triune God, the creator of heaven and earth, He came to earth as prophet. He came to earth as king. He came to earth as Savior. And He was mocked as a prophet. He was mocked as a king. And He was mocked as a Savior. On Calvary, the Bible says, and some began to spit on Him, to cover His face, and to strike Him, saying to Him, prophesy. And the guards received Him with blows, is what the scriptures say. They mocked Him as a prophet. If you're really a prophet, tell us who hits you. They mocked Him as a king. They stripped Him of his clothes, and they put scarlet robe on Him and twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on His head and put a reed in His right hand, and they knelt before Him, mocking Him, saying, hail to the King of the Jews. They mocked Him as a prophet. They mocked Him as a king. They mocked Him as a Savior. Save yourself and come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked Him to one another, saying, He saved others. He cannot save Himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe. They mocked Him as a Savior. He suffered the cross for you and for me. They mocked Him. We're reminded in the Holy Communion the sufferings of Jesus. Not only did He have to empty Himself and leave the right hand of His Father and subject Himself to humanity, to mankind, become a servant to mankind, suffering the tenderness of humanity, but He also had to suffer being mocked. He also had to suffer being betrayed by someone that He loved and He poured into. He suffered the heartbreak of being betrayed. He writes and says, I came to my own, and my own did not receive me. And yes, the crucifixion was indeed the greatest act of sacrifice in the history of the world. And He did it for you, and He did it for me. You see, the communion reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus. When we have come to understand a little of his sacrifice, we come to appreciate and cherish his presence, because his sacrifice reminds us of his love for us. His suffering must remind us of how much he loves us. Paul writes this and says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we may become rich." Man, he suffered the cross for us. You see, the Holy Communion reminds us of his sufferings. When we share the communion today, remember Jesus suffered so that you and I may commune with him, may share with him. This is not cheap grace. There was a cost behind our salvation. And we must approach the table reminded of his sacrifice. And the church says, so we're talking about a few quick reminders this morning of the Holy Communion. The first one is the Holy Communion reminds us of the fellowship with Christ. The second is the Holy Communion reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ. The third one is the Holy Communion reminds us of the call to holy living. Whoever therefore eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then as so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. The Holy Communion reminds us of the call to holy living. There is a clear teaching here to reverence this moment. It's not ceremonial. This is not something to take lightly. The Holy Communion demands reverence and it demands respect. It is a meeting with God, and we must approach the table in a spirit of fearfulness and a spirit of wonder. We are approaching the table where Jesus is, never taking this for granted, but remembering that he is holy and his presence demands holiness. We sit at the table with Jesus and he shares with us again. The table does not demand perfection, for Jesus brings that already, but it does demand reverence. The Holy Communion reminds us of the call to holy living. Before we approach the table this morning, let us examine ourselves. Let us ask God for the forgiveness of our sins. Let us seek to reconcile to our brother or sister. Perhaps where hate or discourse or jealousy or any strand of sin has taken root, let us be determined to seek forgiveness, to seek love, and to seek reconciliation. To repent, to make a commitment with God. To be sure that our lives are living the best way that we can for Jesus. That doesn't mean that it will be perfect. For we are all sinners. We've all have fallen short the glory of God. But the grace of God abounds over sin. And we can seek God every day for forgiveness and for reconciliation with him. I bet you some saw the communion being posted on social media and said, "I'm not going to church today. I'm not ready to take the communion." But I wonder if that's the right attitude. I wonder if God is speaking to us to say, let's get right to take the communion then. Let us not run from the things that we believe that God is speaking into our hearts. But let us prepare ourselves to enjoy the call that God has for us, which is to live in his very presence. Perhaps you're here today and you're struggling in your faith. Jesus brings perfection to the table. He doesn't expect it from us. What he does expect from us is examination. He does expect from us confession. And he does expect from us repentance, a changing of ways. So maybe you're here today and you feel like, man, I'm struggling. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Today is a day to say, okay, God, I got to get these things right in my life. To seek forgiveness, confession, and repentance, which is a changing of ways. And the church says, the Holy Communion reminds us today, our fourth reminder, the Holy Communion reminds us of our eternal home. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're reminded today that Christ has prepared an eternal home for us. I love that Peter writes, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And then he tells them to live a life worthy of the call, to live a holy life. But he addresses them as aliens and strangers. In other words, this is not our home. This is not our last stop. Laura will see her grandmother again one day. You and I will see our loved ones that have passed on and have received Jesus as their personal Savior one day. The Holy Communion reminds us that we have an eternal home. I love that Jesus says this to his disciples when they were concerned that he would be leaving them. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? And I go to prepare a place for you. What a blessing. He reminds his disciples, I am preparing a home for you. Jesus sacrificed his life for us so that we could have eternal life. Therefore, as Christians, we enjoy the Holy Communion and we proclaim an eternal life with Christ. Remember, this is not our last stop. God has prepared heaven for us, for his people. Communion with God forever. And the church says, remember, this is the call of the church. Some will say, well, what will heaven look like? You know, I believe that it's hard to define what heaven will look like. I think the scriptures, God speaks in language that man can understand, but it's probably something that we cannot conceive, right? But the Bible tells us that there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. The architect of heaven will be amazing, will be beautiful, streets of gold and buildings made of pearls and emeralds and precious stones. But what I love about heaven is there will be perfect communion in heaven with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heaven awaits the church. It will be a time when we find ourselves face to face with our Savior, partaking of his presence, not just in a ceremony, but in a coexistence with Christ for eternity. So as we get ready to take the Holy Communion this morning, five quick reminders. The Holy Communion reminds us of the fellowship we have with Christ, of the sufferings of Christ. The call to holy living reminds us of our eternal home. And our last point is, the Holy Communion reminds us that we are one body. Verse 33, so then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Jesus shows us that as he shares at the table with his disciples, the word communion literally means sharing. We come together as one people. We also have the benefit of communion with our fellow Christians, our fellow believers. We come to the table together as one people, as one church, as one body. And at the table, we become interested in each other's prayers. We sympathize with each other's sorrows. We partake of each other's joy. We're traveling the same road. Yes, we travel the same road together. We have the same difficulties and we have the same comforts, the same sorrows and the same joy, the same failures and the same victories. As a people, we come together. So at the end of the time of the communion, a part of our time together would be to greet each other, to love each other, to know that God has called us together as his disciples, as his children, as his people. And we do this together. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. So as we close and we get ready to take the communion, I ask that the musicians come forward, the deacons come forward to help us. I remind you today of why we take the communion. The Holy Communion reminds us of the fellowship we have with Christ. It's not a ceremony. There's something so real and special about the communion. It reminds us that we sit at the table with Jesus. It reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ. He left the side of the Father. He was mocked. He was betrayed. He suffered the cross. We're reminded that He did that for us. We're reminded of the call to holy living. Yes, He expects of us to do our best, to make those hard decisions at times that says, because this pleases the Lord, I will do it. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a hard decision. But because we love Jesus, because we recognize what He's done for us, forgiven us, reconciled us to the Father, we say, I will make the hard decision and live for Jesus. We're reminded, well, this is not our last stop. Heaven awaits the church. One day the trumpet will sound and the church will be lifted up and we will find ourselves in the clouds with Jesus. It's not just a fairy tale, but every word of God has come to pass. And when you're asked at some time or another, why do you want to go to heaven? I would hope that your answer would not be, because I'm tired of earth. Or I hope that your answer would not be, because I want to be rescued from this life of sin. I hope that your answer would not be, because I don't want my children to suffer this world of sin. I hope that our answer would be, because I want to have communion with Christ forever. I want to see the presence of the Lord. And Holy Communion reminds us that we are one body, one church. We have been called to live this life together, knowing that the same walk that you have is the same walk that I have. And together with Christ, we are victorious people. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word. I pray, Father, that it would resonate with us this morning. That we would be reminded of the seriousness that comes with the Holy Communion. That it is an opportunity for us to draw near to you. To be reminded that our salvation did not come easy. To be reminded that we are called to live a particular lifestyle. To be reminded that heaven awaits us. And that as one family and one body, we draw near to you, O Lord. Bless our time together. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would bless our time here now. That your presence would be heavy in this place, O Lord. Father, that you would convict our hearts. That you would convict us of the things that need to be convicted, Lord. Lord God, that we can draw near to you this morning. Lord, in a spirit of confession and in a spirit of repentance, a changing of ways. Help us this morning. Lord, we make a proclamation today that we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for inviting us to be at the table with you. We ask, Father, your blessing upon each and every one of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we sing this next song, I'm going to invite you to take direction under the ushers. Pastor Minor will be leading you all as to come. We're going to be starting in the back and moving our way forward. Those upstairs can come down first. Follow the direction of the ushers. Do not eat of the bread or drink of the fruit of the vine just yet. We will do that together as one body after all have received the elements. Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.